children who are far from God and children that are close to God. This morning, the sermon is directed to children, God's word specifically for children, which tells us, children, you are important to God and you are important to the church. So as we begin, there's two main audiences today, the children of our church, but also anyone who is a child of God. Children and children of God, the command today is to honor and obey parents and to honor and obey our Heavenly Father. So let's pray as we begin today. Oh Lord, we thank you again for your word that is truth, your word that stands forever, Lord. We pray, Father, as Peter prayed and Peter proclaimed, Lord, so many years ago, Father, that we would all be cut to the heart today. Your word, Father, is sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to pierce and penetrate our hearts. And so we pray that that would happen today, Lord. Father, that your truth would sink into our hearts, Father. It's no accident, Lord, that we are here today in your will, Lord. Each person is here, Father. You have brought each one here and placed them before your word, Father. We pray that you would have your way with us. Transform us, we pray, in Christ's holy name. Amen. So we'll read today Ephesians 6, verses 1. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Amen. May God add his blessing to his holy word. Well, as we begin, let's remember where we are in the book of Ephesians. Remember, Ephesians is neatly divided into two halves. The first half, chapters 1 through 3, teaches us about God's grace, the doctrines of grace, his glorious grace, that he set his love upon us and chose us. He saved us by his grace. Ephesians tells us before the foundation of the world. And then the second half of Ephesians focuses on our walk with the Lord. That's the key word in Ephesians 4 through 6. Now that we have learned that we are saved by God's grace and belong to him, he has adopted us as his own children, how then should we walk? How do we walk as followers of Christ? Paul has told us we walk in love. We put off the old self, which belongs to the former life. We are imitators of God. We are to look carefully how we walk. So we've considered the walk of husbands and wives, and now we come to children. We'll consider 4 points this morning related to children, and the first is this: children are a part of the church. He wrote this letter. And Ephesians 6 tells us that a servant of God, Tychicus, likely delivered this letter from Rome to the church in Ephesus. It's about a 1,000-mile journey, Tychicus carrying this letter all the way. So imagine Tychicus arrives in Ephesus with this letter, and we see as the letter was presented to the congregation and read aloud in the public worship service, we see that the children are there. The children are present as the letter is read to the assembly. That's really important for us to note, because it means that kids, the adult, it's not that the adults were in the worship service while the kids were off on the playground, or the adults were in the worship service where the kids were in a service catered to them and, you know, a message that they could understand. No, the children were present with God's people. It's expected from Paul that the children would be engaged and listening and taking in God's word along with the entire body of Christ. The children are not future members of the church. That's what Paul is showing us. They are not future members. They are present members, and they are addressed by God himself in his holy word. And you know, it's always been God's pattern to include children in the body of Christ. Children have always been a part of God's covenant people. In 15 and 17, God said to Abraham, "You shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you." And the sign of the covenant, circumcision, was to be placed on children at 8 days old. That sign meant that they were a part of God's covenant people. Not on the outside, they are welcomed in. The sign marked them as a part of God's family, as young as 8 days old. Now today we have the new covenant sign. We saw this sign today, the sign of baptism. Baptism is for believers who place their trust in Christ, but also for their children. Just as the sign of circumcision was for Abraham and his household, so baptism is for believers and for the entire household. And when an infant is baptized, when a child is baptized, that is the sign that they are then welcomed into the body of Christ. They are a member of God's family, of God's people. When an infant is baptized in our church, the congregation takes vows that we vow to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, meaning this child is a vital part of our congregation. They are part of us, even as an infant. This is also, this verse 1 is why we include children in our worship service, because this is how God sees children. They are to be here in the worship service, hearing the word of God and applying it to our lives. Now, a couple applications. This means we must be welcoming to children. Because children are to be in the worship service and a part of God's people, that means we need to welcome them in. That means that we need to be ready and prepared to hear noises and even crying and kids that might drop things or fidget around. We need to be prepared for that and welcome that. Welcome children and train them up in the Lord so that they can grow and become more godly and more mature. How can you welcome children into God's worship? Speak to them. Learn their names. Ask them how things are going. How are things in school? What activities are you present in? You know, one of the best blessings to my family is that this is a church that speaks to my children and loves my children. Every time they come into God's house, they know they are a part and they know that they are welcomed. Keep doing that. And there's an application for parents too. Parents, be diligent to bring your children to worship, not just to sit there next to you while you take in God's word, but bring your children to worship so that they can also hear God's word. It's not a time for kids to disengage. This is a time for children to listen and take in God's teaching and his word. And kids, because you are a part of God's church, a vital part of God's church, come ready to participate and ready to listen, ready to worship. Bring your Bible. Read along. Follow along in your bulletin. Take notes if you can. Pray along. The worship service is not just for adults. Paul is telling us here the worship service is for you too. So second this morning, we see instruction for children, and that is children must obey and honor. Children are a part of God's church. And that means, children, there are expectations for you. God has expectations for you. First, notice verse 1, children, obey your parents. Now, this word obey, it means two things. Obedience means to give ear, that is to hear, and then to follow. So it's listening, hearing the instruction, but then also being willing to follow that command and that instruction. So obedience has two parts. You know, kids, you often... I know at least this happens in my house. Kids are often told to listen. To look at me and listen. Listen out of obedience. But it's not enough just to hear. Then from the hearing comes the action. There's two parts to the word. You listen and then you follow. Now I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 8, because in Luke 8, and what true obedience looks like. So turn over to Luke chapter 8. And here in Luke 8, we find Jesus and the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm starts to rage while Jesus and the disciples are in their boat on the sea. So Luke 8, we come to verse 23, and we see this. As they sailed, he, that is Jesus, fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Okay, notice verse 25 there of Luke chapter 8. Who is this that even winds and water obey him? The winds and the water here, you see this? The winds and the water heard the voice of God. Did they just hear it? No, they heard it, and then they followed. They heard, and then they ceased moving. The wind was at one moment gushing and swirling. The waves are crashing into the boat. The boat is filling up with water. But when Jesus says, stop, when he rebukes the waves, immediately the sea is crystal clear, calm, like a sea of glass. So true obedience follows this pattern. True obedience is hearing and following, and it's done immediately and it's done completely. Immediately, we see with the waves, the waters did not have to be commanded by Jesus 15 times and then stop. They heard it one time and then they stopped. Children, the call for you is to obey on the first time, immediately. As soon as Jesus spoke the word, the waters obeyed. And then you see the obedience was complete. There wasn't a partial ceasing of movement. The water was immediately completely calm, crystal clear. That is true obedience. Now back in Ephesians 6, I want you to look at again at verse 1. And children, obey your parents in the Lord. This means, children, you obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. You obey them because you are primarily one of God's children. And you know, God has placed my parents over me. He has commanded them to raise me in His word and to bring me up in the nurture of the Lord. And so I know when I am obeying them, I'm obeying in the Lord. And here, Colossians chapter 3, this is a glorious truth from Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children, you know how you can please the Lord? How you know that God is smiling on you and is pleased with what you are doing? You obey your parents. It pleases the Lord. What an encouragement that is, that God tells you specifically how you can please Him. Children, it's by obeying your parents. Now, a second command for children, notice verse 2. You obey your parents, but then verse 2, also honor your father and mother. So children are to obey and to honor. Now, what does it mean to honor? This word means to value or to prize. It means to hold your mother and your father with the highest and deepest respect. Your mother and father gets to the action, where honoring gets more to the heart. You know, obedience is more of the outward motions, but honoring gets deep into what your heart is towards your parents. Now listen to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, a familiar scripture. Honoring your parents is getting to the heart. God looks at the heart. He's concerned with the heart. He's not just concerned with, well, I cleaned my room, yeah, but I was gritting my teeth and I was mad the whole time. That's not obedience. Obedience, that's just the outward action. The heart needs to be one that is honoring the Lord. You know, the child who stomps down the room, down the hallway to the room to clean the room or do the task, that's not honoring to the Lord. It's not honoring to your parents. It's the heart. Now, children, what does it mean to honor your parents? What does that look like? How could you do this in your everyday life? I see some parents that are nodding and smiling right now. How do you do this in your everyday life? Children, it means not grumbling and complaining or arguing with your parents. It means, children, even taking initiative to obey and do good before you are even asked. It means serving around the house. Serving around the house, asking mom and dad, how is it that I can contribute? What can I do to make your life easier or your life better? That's showing honor. speaking to the teenagers. Honoring your parents means not speaking negatively to your friends about your parents. It means trusting your parents may not be your preference. Above all, it means being grateful to God for having parents that love you and want to raise you in the Word of God. Children, do you pray and give thanks for your parents? You know, as children, David says in Psalm 51, we are born in sin. We're born in sin. We're by nature sinners. And so we need to grow. Children need to grow and mature and be sanctified. One of the best ways you can do that, children, is by looking outside of yourself. Looking outside of yourself. What can I do to honor my parents and serve my parents? How can I think about them? What's going on with them? Are they tired? Are they busy? Are they sad? Are they happy? The sin nature curves children in on themselves. And this is a battle we face for the rest of our lives. But as children, as you mature, start looking outside of yourself to the parents God has blessed you with. Now, what about when you get older? When you're grown up, when you leave the house, how do you honor your parents when you're an adult? When your parents are aging? You know, you're no longer obeying your parents. Recently, that you leave your parents, you leave and cleave and start your own family, start your own life. You're not obeying them anymore, but you are still to honor them. So how do you honor your aging parents when you're an adult? Well, you pray for them. Pray often for your parents. Thank them often. Encourage them often. 1 Timothy 5 tells us, if needed, you even provide for them. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if necessary, you are worse than an unbeliever if you do not provide. So if you can, and you need to, provide care. Provide interaction. Provide just calling them on the phone and speaking to them if they're lonely. Provide financially if necessary. But the call is to honor your parents until the very end. Well, third point this morning. Paul says, this is right. Notice the end of verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And wherever you go in the world, every country, every continent, Africa, Asia, it's raising children and expecting children to follow, to listen, and obey. It's a universal norm. This is how God created the family units. This is how God created things to work, mothers and fathers to have children and children lead and obey and honor their parents. Paul says this is right, meaning this is just, this is equitable. Matthew Henry says this, even societies without Scripture recognize this natural justice, this law of nature. Meaning God created a wise, good, just, and right system for families to flourish. From the beginning, God brought together one man and one woman, Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Raise your children in the Lord. Now, it's interesting when you read through Genesis and you come to Genesis chapter 4, you see the account of Cain and Abel. In Genesis 4, it tells us Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. Where did they learn this? Where did Cain and Abel learn to bring an offering to the Lord? They learned this from their parents. So they're listening to their parent and woman, are instructing their children in the Lord. This has always been God's good and right design. So we look around in our society and we see hurting children. We see broken homes, broken families. The problem is not the institution that God created. The problem is not the family. The problem is sin. Paul says this is right. What God has created is right. What we have done, what humans have done, is wrong. We've sinned. Fathers have sinned against their families by abandoning their families and their children. Parents have sinned against their children by being abusive and harsh to their children. Children have been rebellious against their parents and against authority. God created something that is right, but because of sin, it's been broken and it's been corrupted. We don't blame God or blame his system. We say, this is right. And the more we follow the right thing that God has created, the better our children will be. Well, fourth, we come to the promise to children. Notice verse 2. Paul tells us that this command to honor father and mother, it's the first command with a promise. Here Paul is referencing the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment, actually, which true promise. And so see the promise attached to the command here in verse 3. And here's the promise, children, if you honor and obey your parents, here's what God says. Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. When you honor and obey your parents in the Lord, God promises that your life will go well and you will live long in the land. Now, this promise was originally to the Israelites, speaking of a specific land, the land of Canaan, the promised land. But this promise now extends to the church today. And so what does this promise mean? Does it mean that you're guaranteed, if I honor and obey my parents, well, then I am guaranteed to live a long life? Well, this is a general promise, meaning that if you follow these principles, generally speaking, there are exceptions. There are people who honor and obey parents who die young. But generally speaking, you will live a long and fruitful life. So children, what does this look like in your life? It means if you honor and obey your parents that you will be generally kept from harm, experience fewer accidents and fewer traumas because they are listening to the wisdom of their parents. You know, it's Winter Olympics time right now. I was personally inspired by the 1998 Winter Olympics, and so I turned my skateboard into a luge. I attached some boards, nailed them haphazardly to the skateboard and made a street luge, and I was luging down my street when my parents came out and they said, that's probably not a very good idea. Fortunately, I had enough sense to listen and honor and obey my parents at least at that one time, and that might have maybe saved my life or spared my life. Obeying your parents, honoring your parents, keeps you from harm. Obeying your parents also can spare you from dangerous friendships and sinful habits. Remember the story of Samson? Samson in Judges chapter 14, he saw one of the Philistine women and he said to his parents, she looks good to me, go and get her for my wife. Remember her parents? His parents said, Samson, is there not a woman from God's people that you could marry? But Samson refused and he said, no, go get her for my wife. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't honor. He wouldn't obey. And so what happened to Samson's life? His life was cut short. Extremely chaotic. Yes, he was used by God in a mighty way. But he had a downfall because of his sin. Well, Proverbs is very helpful in understanding this promise of honoring and obeying. Proverbs 13:1 tells us a wise son hears his father's instruction and grows in wisdom. Hearing and obeying and honoring this promise tells us you will grow in wisdom. Proverbs 6 says, when you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. You will learn wisdom, children. You will gain wisdom and walk in wisdom. That's God's promise to you. Well, how do we apply this passage today? I want us to consider a few takeaways that you can take home with you from this word today. The first is this. Disobedience to parents is a serious offense to God. Actually, in Romans chapter 1, among other places, Paul tells us about unbelievers who deny God, those who have suppressed the truth, Paul says. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They push away God's truth. And listen to Romans chapter 1. Verse 28 says, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And here, verse 29, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanders, haters of God, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. You hear that? On this list of people who have denied God completely with their life comes this mark, disobedience to parents. Sometimes we might read through that and think, well, that doesn't really fit. Is disobedience to parents really that big of a deal? Yes, it is. Paul's saying this is the mark of an unbeliever who has denied God. Someone who habitually says, I don't want to listen to my parents. I don't want to listen to whom God has placed over me. So children, teenagers, if this describes you, the call is to repent. This is a serious sin to God, a serious offense to God. And parents, if your children are habitually disobedient, then pray for your children. This is the mark of an unbeliever. Pray that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, second application this morning. Children, treasure the instruction and teaching of your parents. The greatest inheritance that you can receive from your parents is not a house, it's not a car, it's not money. The greatest inheritance you can receive is biblical wisdom from your parents. Listen again to Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Meaning, keep my teaching of God's word ever before you, right in front of your eyes. Children, treasure up the godly instruction you receive from your parents. Well, a third application. God redeems disobedient children. God redeems disobedient children. Back to the story that we started with, the story of Augustine. Many of you have heard the ending of the story of Augustine. His mother, Monica, prayed for him from his childhood that he would come to faith in Jesus Christ. It wasn't until he was 31 years old that the Holy Spirit convicted him, cut him to the heart, and he turned to Romans chapter 13, and he began walking with the Lord. He said this, or it says this, let us walk properly as in the days of Christ and make no provision for the flesh. It was there that he was born again to new life. His mother's prayers were answered. So this man who had been a disobedient child and rebelled from his very earliest age, he had sinned mightily. The prayers were answered and he became a giant of the faith and an author that is still read today almost 2,000 years later. So parents, continue praying for your children who are disobedient and have wandered from the Lord. Keep crying out to the Lord. And then finally, this passage calls us, as always, to look to our Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was 12 years old, he went to the temple, and remember, he was there for 3 days. His parents couldn't find him. He was in the temple and he was teaching the religious leaders. Scripture says that they were amazed and astonished at what he was sharing. But Luke chapter 2 tells us something amazing. As his parents came and they got him, it tells us that Jesus was submissive to his parents. He was obedient to his earthly mom and dad, Mary and Joseph. In all things, Christ honored his parents and obeyed his parents. So, children, Christian, when you fall short, which you will, remember that your righteousness is in Jesus Christ and that he fulfilled the law perfectly. He never once dishonored or disobeyed his parents, even though he was much more wise than them. He submitted to them because that was God's command. He honored his parents in all things. And so we look to Christ as our model and we trust in him for our righteousness. Let's pray together. Tidge from the Lord. We thank you that you value children, Lord, so much. You even said, let the children come to me, Father. And so we pray for the children of our church, Lord. We pray that they would be welcomed and cared for and loved, Father. Lord, that they would always know that this is their place, Lord. Father, help our children, Lord, our covenant children, to grow in their knowledge and love of you and to never know a day when they didn't walk with you and love you, Lord. And we pray, Father, that children would obey and honor their parents and that all Christians, Lord, all who are here would honor and obey you, our Heavenly Father. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.